Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupodity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupodity.
Welcome in to another episode of Stupodity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you, bigger than Oprah. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. As I always say here, listening is optional. Just do the rating part, okay? Like, you are making us, Stanzik, we are carrying the Levitard and Friends Network on our backs, my friend.
We'll be laughing. Yeah, why has our workload doubled during this quarantine? Like, what are we doing there?
We have nothing else to do. What else are you going to do right now? What else am I going to do right now? It's to bother my wife, so I'm sitting here. That's it.
That's a good point. I mean, I thought this podcast was supposed to be aggressively lazy. I think we're just being aggressive right now.
Yes. Yes, we are. I'm telling you, we have enough material, Stanzik. We have enough to release 10 episodes this week.
We have too much.
I know.
And there's like 18 more interviews scheduled.
I know. This is a tough week for me because it's Masters week. We'll address that we'll address that down the road in another episode that we'll release tomorrow. But I mean,
that may or may not get aired.
Yes, that may or not. We'll talk to some people about missing the Masters. But you know how much I love that event. So this is the week where it really has set in for me because of Masters Week, the NCAA tournament was supposed to, you know, the final, the championship game was on Monday. Some, you know, college kid was sitting at home expecting to have Jim Nance's tie around his neck and he gets nothing. I mean,
what a disappointment.
But this one stings because you have Friends and Family Day Wednesday, which is my second or third favorite day on the sports calendar. Saturday moving day at Augusta is the best day in the sports calendar for me, okay? Because here's the deal with Sunday, Stanzik, and again, we'll talk about it in a future episode with Mike Greenberg, hopefully Scott Van Pelt, and a cavalcade of others. So moving day is my favorite day because with moving day, everyone's getting in position for Sunday, and all you're hoping for as a golf fan is that your favorite golfers are in position on Sunday, but you also have a nice group of golfers who are also in position on Sunday, so that makes Sunday exciting. The problem with Sunday, it's kind of like Super Bowl Sunday, is where you're watching the game, it's exciting. But Sunday at the Masters for me is bittersweet. I love it. It's exciting. But I also know I don't get Augusta for another year. You know what I mean?
I guess. Are you suggesting that you like the AFC and NFC championships more than the Super Bowl?
Way more. I like the divisional round of the playoffs the most. I mean, you get two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. Any of those eight teams usually can win the Super Bowl. So I like that the most. Yeah, there's a bitter. You don't feel that on Super Bowl Sunday. You're watching the game. It's exciting. But you also know football's gone for a while.
Yeah, that doesn't really bother me. That thought doesn't creep in until the game's over.
Okay. I mean, Augusta is just 4 days out of the year, Stanley, so you understand it. The only point I was trying to make is Saturday at Augusta is my favorite day. Friends and family, that's Wednesday. That's the par three tournament. That's my second or third favorite day, okay? Because the opening round is...
Wait a minute.
The final round is the least. Yeah.
Your rankings of days during Masters Week are all out of proportion and don't make any sense. Wednesday, they're not even playing the tournament, and it's your second favorite day, just the anticipation of the tournament, like Christmas Eve?
I mean, listen, there is nothing. That par three tournament, friends and family, when Jack, you know, nails an ace and his son is on the bag and everyone's cheering and they're crying and guys are skipping balls across the lake purposely. Tony Finau is breaking ankles. You remember that?
I mean,
friends and family. I mean, so here it's an odd take. Granted, I understand where you're going with this. Moving day is number one. Opening round number two, so that's Thursday. Wednesday is three. Sunday is four, and Friday is fifth. How about that?
Wow. It's a weird top five.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is a weird top five. By the way, we have a great guest coming up. You're going to make fun of me in a second. His name is Ross Stripling for some reason the entire week. Oh,
you got it right.
Well, why don't you tell the audience? I only got it right because I'm so nervous to get it wrong around you anymore. He's a Dodger pitcher. He's a good Dodger pitcher. He made an all-star.
It's all news to me.
Yeah. Why don't you tell the audience what I've been calling Ross Stripling the entire week?
So you've been calling him Ross Tillerson, and we're on an email thread with his PR person, and you just, yes. The only thing, we're just referring to him as Ross. So I'm like, who is this Ross? I'm not really sure. You told me we were going to have a stockbroker on. So I'm like, all right, so it's a stockbroker named Ross. And then you tell me it's Ross Tillerson. I'm like, okay, so I'm Googling Ross Tillerson, and it comes up, do you mean Rex Tillerson, former Secretary of State? No, I don't. So I start typing Ross Tillerson stockbroker. Nothing comes up. I didn't even know this guy played baseball. I didn't know he was an all-star pitcher for the Dodgers. I had no idea who he was, and I just figured it's stupidity. What the f*** do I care? I'll just show up for the interview and see what happens, and that's what I did. Turns out he plays for the Dodgers. He's an all-star, and he's also a stockbroker.
Yeah, he's my kind of guy. I think at one point I called him Rex Tillerson to you.
Yeah, I don't know where you got the Tillerson, though. His last name is Stripling. It has nothing to do with Tillerson.
I have no idea. Hashtag COVID-19. I mean,
oh, no, you can't use that as an excuse. Come on.
I can't. I mean,
no.
I mean, Ross, Rex, Tillerson. Stripling. Tomato, tomato. I mean,
oh.
Why? Why? You're right.
I can't figure it out. I'm doing
it. Like, was there a Tillerson in my? We know there's a Rex in my life, Rex Ryan.
Right.
Ross Tillerson. I'm just wondering, was there a Tillerson somewhere in my life where it's just kind of? It must be the Secretary of State, right?
I don't know. You have a lot of random people in your life that you throw names out there and you're like, oh, that guy went to my camp when I was 15. I'm like, okay, but I still don't know who it is. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's some long lost friend of yours.
Oh my God. I have no idea. I do not know a Tillerson. I'm telling you right now. You want to do all time Rosses or an all time Dodger team? What do you want to do here?
Well, you tell me. Are we doing?
I mean, it's up to you. Or athletes that can own a stockbroker. I mean,
oh my goodness.
I mean, I go anywhere you want to go here.
Let's do Rosses. But my question is: are we doing athletes and entertainers as usual, and are we going first name Ross or last name Ross?
We can go first or last name. By the way, Ian Book, athletes that can own stockbrokers.
Oh my goodness.
Bouncing around, hashtag COVID-19. and by the way, whoever this Rex Tillerson is, get him on.
Yeah. Okay.
And whoever Ross Tillerson is, get him on.
I couldn't find that guy.
Did I ever call him Rex Stripling to you at any point?
No, at no point.
Okay. You want to do all-time Rosses, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so it could be first or last name Ross, and it does not have to be in sports. Does it have to be fictional?
If we're doing fictional, then we're going like Ross from Friends is our number one draft pick, right?
Ross Geller would certainly be in there, yes.
It's kind of weird how you hear the name Ross, and that's the first thing you think of.
It is, of course. I mean, who else would?
I mean, Diana Ross, I think I would put pretty high on the list.
Wow, that's a good one. Yeah, she'd be very high on the list.
Right? Isn't there a Cody Ross player?
Cody Ross, he played for the Marlins. He played for the Giants. I think he was an NLCS MVP, maybe a World Series MVP. I'm not even joking.
Really?
Yeah, I think he was.
Is he any good?
No, just in the World Series. I mean, he's pretty good, but...
he was the NLCS MVP in 2010. That's weird pull out of you. I don't know how you knew that.
Well, the reason I knew that is because he played for the Marlins, and we had him on right after the NLCS. That's why. So we had a relationship with him, and we had him on right. No one was paying more attention to Cody Ross than I was. Okay,
like, apparently not.
By the way, Ross Perot, is he in the discussion?
Oh, very good. Yes. No, that's a very good one.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I want to say. Didn't he die recently?
Ross Perot? That's the maximum possible fine on our show, just so you know. If you killed someone who's not dead yet, let me see. Ross Perot died July 9th.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Yeah, see, RIP. I knew it.
A Lucky you. I mean, how about that?
Other famous Ross. This is harder than I thought. Other famous Rosses.
It is, all right.
Yeah, I thought it'd be easy.
Well, let's agree on this real quick. Ross Geller, if we're doing a top five, right? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, we're struggling to get to five, but yeah.
All right, so I'm going to put Ross Geller at number one.
Okay.
And I'm going to put Diana Ross at number two, because you're right about that.
Okay. Yeah, I like Ross Perot at number three right now.
All right, no one in sports, huh? Crazy. Ross Perot, and he did die July 9th, 2019.
Okay. Cody Ross. I don't think Cody Ross is famous enough to be in the top five Rosses, but until we think of other Rosses, he is like penciled in right now.
Okay, so you
I remember the football player Ross Tucker. We used to book him on shows all the time. I don't think he was very good, though.
Really? Wow. An unnecessary shot at Ross Tucker. Famous people with the last name Ross. Get Ross Tucker on, by the way.
We could. No, I mean, he was a good guess. I never remember him as a player. I didn't mean to, you know, demean his career.
No, but you did. And the only reason I want him on is so you can do it to his face. Do you have the white guy sound? The white guy sound?
I do not. No.
Because I was going to say Rick Ross. I mean, here we are. ten minutes into it, neither of us mentioned Rick Ross is probably the top of the list. White guys, terrible.
What about Betsy Ross?
Ooh, what'd she do?
Didn't she make the American flag?
I hope she did. I mean, let me check. Betsy Ross.
Betsy Ross, right? Yeah, Betsy, yeah.
Yep. Elizabeth Griscom Ross.
Wow.
Betsy Ross.
Not a lot of Betsy's anymore.
There's a picture of her sewing the American flag. How about that?
Our list is coming together here.
Get her on.
I work on a Rick Ross.
Wait, so hold on, Rick Ross. You can get Rick Ross on. Rick Ross, it's funny. Every day I would walk to that convention center for Super Bowl week. There's a very nice hotel right near there. And it's kind of like Stantic. It's one of those hotels. It's got like 10 rooms. If you're buying a room, you're buying like half the hotel. Rick Ross, Rick Ross set up camp right there. He was sitting outside every day I was walking to and from the convention center. Every day. And I said hello to him like three times. It was crazy.
Really?
Yeah, he was there every single day, dude. People were just like, yo, Rick, what's up? That's Miami for you, though. I'm serious, man. Except for Trey Wingo. Trey walked right by him. And I'm gonna scare the world. A, because why, guys? And B, because Trey was on so much freaking Cuban coffee, he didn't know which way was which. We'll talk Masters with Trey later this week.
Maybe, tentatively. Maybe.
All right, so here's what I have here. I have Ross Geller. I have Diana Ross. I have Rick Ross in no particular order. I have Ross Perot and a number two pencil that we can erase just in case we need to, okay?
We don't have many more options here, I'm telling you. Rosses are pretty thin.
We got four
thin.
Good Rosses, dude. We got four good Rosses right now.
Like, did really you put good. Betsy Ross on there? Do we have five?
I have Ross Geller. I have Diana Ross. I have Rick Ross. I have Betsy Ross. And I have Ross Perot.
I think that's the top five. I think we're good. Yeah, really. I think Rick Ross is in there at five.
So there's no athlete that's going to make – wow.
I don't think so.
Athlete's name Ross.
You know who we're forgetting? I don't think he's a top five guy, but did you ever watch wrestling? The commentator, JR?
Yeah.
Jim Ross.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. That's really mm-hmm. good. A lot of people would argue he needs to be on the list.
I'm thinking he's top 10. I don't know about top five, but vaguely gets us into sports.
I am going to a place that I always go to in times of desperation and times of need, and that, of course, is Ranker.
Your homepage.
How about Marion Ross?
Oh.
She was Marion Cunningham in Happy Days, Mrs. C. How about that? Jeffrey Ross. Isn't he the roast master?
Oh my goodness. That's shame on us. Yes. Jeffrey Ross.
He's the guy, right? Who are you going to take off though now?
Ooh.
That's a tough one. By the way, there are Ross. There are just no. I mean, Terrence Ross is like at the age.
We're terrible. You know what? I used to think we were good at this. I had this name going into Ross's and never said it. David Ross, the new manager of the Cubs.
Yeah. Rossi.
Another sports guy. Yeah. And shame on us, Bob Ross, the painter.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Hold on. We got to stop everything. But first off, Dave Ross. Dave Ross. Hold on. Cubs manager, right?
David Ross, yeah.
I'm only saying
World Series with the Red Sox.
I know who he is, yeah.
You kept calling him Dave, so, you know, I wasn't sure.
Listen, I'm all over the place. I've been calling Ross Rex, so I mean, yeah. What do you want from me? What do you want from me?
He won a ring with the Red Sox and the Cubs. Pretty good.
He's a two-time world champion. He is the Cubs manager. I'm just trying to see how badly I butchered his nickname. That's all.
I think Rossi, you can get away with Rossi for pretty much anyone with that last name. It's like calling a Sullivan Sully, I think.
No, I think you're right, but hold on a second. I don't think you heard what I did on the back end there. I either called him the grandfather or the godfather, and the real nickname is Grandpa. That's the nickname, Grandpa Rossi. That's the nickname. I just called him Grandpa. By the way, on Riker, the highest ranked athlete is Terrence Ross, and he's the sixth man for the Magic.
Oh, I want to say he scored 50 points in an NBA game once.
I think he did. I think he did it recently, by the way.
Terrence
Ross,
looking
him up?
Point game. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he scored 51 in 2014.
He was the first player in NBA history to have a 50-point game while averaging less than 10 per game. That's the truth right there, man. All right, so before we get to Stripling here.
Proud of you.
Let's settle on this. You want to put them in order here? So let's just agree on the Rosses. We have Ross Geller. He's in, right?
Number one, yeah.
Well, no, we don't know yet. Rick Ross is in, right?
In the top five or in the top 10?
Top five. We're just doing five.
I don't think Rick Ross is 100% in. I think he's, you know, 5, 6, 7 range.
Yeah, you can tell him that. I won't.
Yeah, I won't either.
All right, so Diana Ross in.
Yes.
Betsy Ross, is she in?
I think she's in.
Who's the other Ross you had? Ross Perot, is he in?
Ross Perot is in.
So that is four. So we are agreeing that Diana Ross is in, Betsy Ross is in, Ross Perot is in, Ross Geller is in. I think that Rick Ross should be in there. You think who should be in there, Terrence or David Ross?
I'm going Bob Ross, the painter.
Oh, Bob Ross. People who don't know Bob Ross, let's just put a little bird right there. Let's put a little cloud right there. It was the greatest painting show ever. I mean, I couldn't name another painting show. This guy would sit behind a canvas with a brush and some colors, and if you were in the right frame of mind, because you knew he was, if you were in the right frame of mind, he delivered on a weekly basis, my friend. So you're putting Bob Ross over Ross?
Yeah, it sounds strange, but I'm doing it.
Guys! And we're just leaving out, Grandpa altogether.
Yeah, he's out. Jim Ross, they're knocking on the door, but they're not in.
All right, so we agree. We have one disagreement here. I am going to put Rick Ross in. You're going to put your Ross in. Who was
Bob Ross? Yeah, Bob Ross, the painter.
It's a good one, man. I would take out Betsy Ross for Bob Ross. How about that? I'll meet you in the middle.
That's fine.
All right, we take out Betsy. She sewed the American flag.
Yeah.
Okay, good. With that said, let's get to Ross Tillerson. Stupidity. Stanzik, let's explain to the audience seriously who Ross Stripling is, because we're very excited about this because we feel like this is our kind of guy. Not only is he a Major League Baseball pitcher, not only does he pitch for the Dodgers, not only is he a good pitcher, not only did he make an All-Star game, but more importantly, this guy handles money and lots of money. He's a stockbroker, Stanzik. He is my guy.
I know. How about that?
It's amazing. I am hoping we strike gold here. I really am. Like, what? Because listen, we don't care. We don't care what guests we have on. We may take. We'll take a stab at anything. And if it's interesting, great. And we'll air. And if it's not, we won't air it. Or if it's just bad, like that magician who goes to Lake Tahoe every year for that stupid golf tournament, we'll just edit it in a way to make fun of him and make him look bad. And that's what we do. It's too bothering. But we're excited about this one, right?
Oh, of course. I mean, this, what's not to like? This guy pitches in the big leagues and he moves people's money. I mean, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah. You know, I have more money questions than pitching questions, right?
I'd be impressed if we even get to any baseball questions at this point.
All right. So, with that said, let's bring on what is hopefully a new friend of Stupidity, an all-star major league pitcher who is also a stockbroker. He, of course, is Rex Tillerson.
Stupidity!
Ross Stripling is with us here on Stupidity. We're always rolling, Ross. You realize though that you're a major league baseball pitcher and a good one at that. You made an all-star game, but you have the perfect stockbroker's name. You know that, right?
It is a good one, isn't it?
I mean, Stanton, if I told you there was a guy, Ross Stripling, and I told you he does one of two things, he's a major league pitcher or he's a stockbroker, which one would you choose?
Why wouldn't he be a guy that runs a strip club? I'm confused.
That's a good point. It's a good point. A very good point. But which one would you choose if only given those two choices?
Oh, stockbroker. 10 out of 10 times.
Just sounds like, Goldman Sachs. Like, hey, yeah, this is Ross Stripling from Goldman Sachs. Yeah, it just that seems to fit, doesn't it?
No, see, I'm thinking bigger than that, Ross. It's going to be like Stripling and Sachs. You know? Ooh. Like, it's going to have your name on it, you know?
There you go, man. Give me something to look forward to.
That a boy. How'd you get into finance?
You know what, man? I grew up with two grandfathers that were very involved in the market and had very different strategies. So I learned a lot from them at kind of a young age. And my dad was an engineer. My brother was an engineer. So I went to Texas A&M thinking I was going to be an engineer, and it kicked my butt. I was in like sophomore level biology classes right off the bat. And I was like, this is not for me. And transferred over to the business school and just kind of fell in love with everything finance. Just kind of passionate about it from the start. And basically I had a Tommy John in 2014, thought my baseball career was probably going to be over and wanted a fallback plan as I was rehabbing. So I studied for two giant tests, which are called the Series 7 and the Series 66 that get you licensed as a stockbroker, money manager, and allows you to give advice to people about what they should do with their money, and got in with a company called B. Riley, which is a bank based out of Santa Monica, and just kind of kept going, man. I've enjoyed it. It's something to do in the off season. It keeps me busy. In a time like this, man, I learn a lot, and I just love it. It's different every day.
All right, so Stanzik, Ross doesn't realize that he and I have similar career paths. That I was doing sports radio and I was doing finance at the same exact time, Ross, because I needed a backup plan. So I took those tests that you speak of, and I am wondering, okay, more difficult being a major league pitcher or passing that f-ing Series 7 test?
Well, hey, man, that's awesome. I didn't know that about you, so that's awesome. Coincidence there. So let's say, pitching in the big leagues or passing that test. I got to tell you, staying in the big leagues, I think, is the hardest thing in sports, man. And obviously, I can't compare it to basketball, golf, football, that stuff. But I think getting to the big leagues is hard, but staying in the big leagues is damn near impossible. And those tests, you know, I only had to study for a couple months versus I'm now in my trying to get – stay in my fifth year in the big league. So I'll say Nolan Arenado in the box in Colorado is harder than trying to learn what a bond is.
It's funny though, because I don't know how you went about studying it. Stanton, this will not surprise you. I did just enough to pass that thing. Ross, I am not joking. I passed it by a single question. I mean, nice. That is it. And I just memorized every single answer, because most of what is on that test is not important to what it is you're eventually going to do. Am I right, Ross?
Yeah, you know, definitely. That's, you know, the Series 7 especially is just basically regurgitating terms. And a funny story about that is I think it's 300 questions split up into 150 at a time, and you have like a 30-minute intermission. I got my butt kicked so bad on the first half that I walked across the street and got a margarita at a restaurant called Papacito's, thinking, what the heck did I just do and get myself into? And was really thinking about maybe just going home, and decided to go ahead and go back across the street and finish it. And I barely passed it as well. So I'm right there with you.
Little margarita, though, to help you out in the second half there. I like that.
Yeah, ease the nerves a little bit.
Stanzik, the test is so hard. Stanzik, I will tell you this. There has never been a more shocking moment in my life than when I got the envelope telling me whether I passed or failed. I opened it up and it said I passed.
Oh, that's brutal, man. So we get it instantly, at least. I took it on a computer and you knew within seconds. I can't imagine I would sit around for weeks.
No, I had to sit around. Yeah, I'm a lot older than you, so I had to sit around. They had to send a pigeon out to fly the results over to me, and then and then I finally got. So staying in the majors is harder than that test. Okay, that's fair. But that test is pretty f***ing hard. That's the hardest test I've ever taken, Ross. It really is.
Yeah, the 66 to me was the one that I struggle with, man, where it's written by lawyers and they give you Roman numerals and they say like, which one's correct? 1 and 2, 1, 2, but not 3, 1, 2, and 4, you know, and you're like, gosh, dang it. Like, I don't know. Those tests are the ones that are hard.
Just out of curiosity, I'm wondering, why do you do both baseball and finance simultaneously? Is it as simple as you love doing it? And it gives you a head start. So when your baseball career is over, you can just ease right into it.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty much that simple. You know, like I said, it started as a fallback plan. And when you study for those two really hard tests, like we talked about, and they go away if you don't work for 2 years, I'm not going to just let them disappear, you know? So I got to do some work. You know, I'm obviously in the offseason. I'm not going to the cubicle from 8 to 5. You know, baseball is priority one. And B. Riley, the bank that I work for, knows that. And they've been so generous to me to kind of let me come and go as I need and want. But you know, it's cool, man. I got a network of very wealthy people around me that either I can help right now and then call on when baseball's over to potentially be clients. So as far as the potential to set up a, you know, a book of clients to manage their money, I'm sitting on a pretty good network to maybe choose from at some point.
Damn. Have you tapped into any of your teammates yet or anyone in the big leagues? Like, you should be handling Kershaw's money, man.
Yeah, you're right, man. That's the whale. That might be my first call when baseball's over with, right? You know, now I'm just kind of putting it out there, you know, just like getting it into as many, you know, podcasts, articles, things like that, to where people know they can at least kind of call me and ask for advice and stuff like that. But I'm trying to keep them separate a little bit as of now, but still make sure that everyone in the world knows that that's what I'm doing. But, you know, at the same time, I don't necessarily want to be in charge of someone's millions and millions of dollars while I'm trying to, you know, get people out in Major League Baseball.
Here's some advice. I would start later on in your career, as you get to the tail end of it, I would like to start grooving pitches into Mike Trout on one condition. Like, hey, Trouty, I'm putting this right over the plate. When this is all over, though, I'm handling your money. And if that's the way I'd go about it, Ross. I don't know. You're not me, though. You seem to be a lot more ethical.
That's a pretty good strategy, though. I hadn't thought about that. Run the clubby over before the game and be like, hey, I'm going to get second at bat 2-1. I'm going to groove you a heater. If you throw a homer, that's $10 million into the portfolio.
Stanzik, you like this strategy?
I do. And, Ross, I got to be honest with you. My dad's a stockbroker. And it took me a while to realize, and I'd like you to explain the difference if there is any, playing the stock market is the same thing as gambling.
It is. Yeah. You know, most people would agree with you. It is, you know, I think, especially if you're short-term trading, you know, most people would kind of, I don't know, maybe subcategorize it into trading and investing. Investing is more, you know, buying companies that you basically know are going to be around for the next 40 years, staples of our economy, and you're going to let it sit there and grow. Trading is, I'm going to, you know, put a chunk of money in the morning, and within 24 to 48 hours, I'm going to get that out and I'm going to try and do it again over and over and over. It's much more investing on Adderall with ADD. It's quick and you're trying to make money short term, you know, that is legalized gambling, no doubt about it. And then you get into options trading and currencies and Bitcoin and all that stuff. That's where you could say, yeah, that's, you know, a version of gambling. But true investing is, you know, conservative by nature and just thinking about your long-term wealth, retirement, that kind of stuff.
Russ, are you trading people's money, or are you investing it long term, like long term strategies, will, all that stuff? Are you just simply, I know you're trading your own money. Are you trading clients' money, or are you just doing buying them stocks, long term strategy for the family, retirement, 401k, all that?
Yeah, it's definitely the latter. It's investing and long term minded. I keep up with the short term stuff, you know, like right now in my personal account, I'll trade some options and you know, have some fun trying to make some short term money and some hedging and things like that. But, you know, with the bulk of my money and any client's money, it's definitely long term minded, you know, with the idea of like right now saying clear up as much cash as you can, because we're getting an opportunity to buy, you know, staples of our economy at prices we haven't seen since before Trump, since 2016 and before. And, you know, long term, man, we're getting an opportunity to buy some names at some crazy low levels. So that would be more investing.
Did you have to do like the whole cold calling thing? Like how, like to build up your client base, were you just like ripping pages out of a phone book and just calling people?
No, thank God, man. That is not for me. I mean, I've had buddies that knock on doors. I can't imagine doing that. That is a tough side of the business. And I hate receiving cold calls more than anything in the world. So I don't want to be cold calling people. You know, if baseball were to end, you know, back when I had that Tommy John surgery, if baseball would have ended and I got those tests, yeah, that's what you have to do. I mean, you have to manage upwards of like $25 to $30 million to really make a living, you know, because the brokerage firm that you work for is going to take half of the fee that you charge. So you got to manage some serious dough. And tell you what, man, there's not a lot of people that trust 24-year-old kids to give them their life savings.
No. So I used to, like, I had to cold call. And so I always had a strategy. If you ever have to do it, if you're in a rut, you're forced to do it, whatever. My strategy when I was in a rut was there is a particular block up in West Palm Beach, Florida, okay?
Okay.
Because if you, and I am telling you, I would look through the phone book and anyone with the first name Murray, they were getting a call from me, okay? Because I mean, if your name is Murray and you live in West Palm Beach on this block, you have at least 10 million you can plop down with me in 5 seconds. That would, like, listen, Giambi wore underwear to get him out of a slump, and I just called Murray's in West Palm to get me out of a slump, you know?
That's awesome. Hey, man, that's just sound logic. Well done.
You like that?
Yeah, that's great.
And then I'd be just yelling, I'm like, Murray! Because, you know, you got to, like a 75-year-old Murray, if you can make him feel like your friends and really care about him in the first 5 minutes, you got him. And then you got $100 million, you know what I mean?
And you're set. You're great. So did that actually work? Did you get a couple Murray?
Oh, I got, I mean, half my client book was Murray. I mean, first and last name.
Every Monday, I got to call the Murrays. Keep them up. Keep them up.
Yes.
To date.
Listen, I'm going to send you the block and I'm going to send you the names and you cold call them. And I promise. Plus, you have the advantage
I'll start
that I didn't
cold
have.
If
I mean,
I
you pitched for the Dodgers, man. That's got to be the conversation starter every time.
I was thinking Ross needs some oil tycoons he can go after, and I don't think there's many of them with the name Murray. So there might be a different name we got to find in that Oklahoma, Texas region.
What would that name be? Like Pickens?
Ooh, wow. Yeah, Boone. There's some Rhett's.
Yeah,
Ooh.
Boone. Yeah. I mean, Ross is a pretty Texas name, if I do say so.
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Stanzik, I think you're right. It's got to be like a T. Boone Pickens. So it's got to be an initial, period, a name, and then Pickens.
Hey, you're going to love this because my first name's Thomas. So I go by
perfect.
My middle name. So T. Ross Stripling.
Oh, I am calling you every day until I lock that down. Oh, that is so great.
Wow.
All right, so you mentioned like this is such a tricky and difficult time. And I'll get to baseball in a minute. I promise you more by the money. Can you pitch me a stock? Pitch me in Stanzik. Let's pretend that it is D dot Stanzik, come up with a name for yourself.
Oh, my trader name?
No. Your wealthy name. Like,
my wealthy name.
I want Ross to pitch us a stock right now if he could.
Okay,
Ross, are you down? Well, hold on. Let's make sure Ross is down with doing that. Like, can you pitch us right now?
I got to cut you off, man. You've been licensed before. I can't give individual advice. You're asking me to get a lawsuit. I can't do it.
Yeah, it's a fair point. He's right, actually. I remember that from passing the test. Rush Rippling with us here on Stupidity, Dodger pitcher, all-star, also a stockbroker, and has a podcast called The Big Swing. Check it out. Where can people check out the podcast, Ross?
Yeah, any place you listen to podcasts, Apple Pods, Spotify, Podbean, all that good stuff. We have a website, bigswingpodcast.com, and then obviously at Big Swing Podcast on all social medias. We put out – right now we're actually doing two a week, trying to take advantage of this quarantine life. We got some big leaguers coming on about twice a week, but usually we do one a week, and we're a little over a year in, and it's been a lot of fun, man. I respect y'all's grind. It's doing a podcast is not easy.
No, it's not. We're doing the same thing, taking advantage of time. And I'm also taking advantage. Like, I'm thankful for the time. I'm thankful that I'm still able to work. And I sit in this laboratory with Stanzik for 3 hours after my live show every day simply to save my marriage. Like, that's really – yeah, the podcasting's hard, man. But I just guessing from the 20 minutes or so that we've spoken to you, it's really good. So check it out. It's The Big Swing, available wherever you get your podcast. And we're talking to the host of it right now. Here on Stupidity. Ross, do you think there'll be a baseball season? Do you think we will actually have a baseball season?
I think so, man. I'm super optimistic. I think it may not be until July. You know, 4th of July, start of baseball would be kind of a cool thing. Obviously, we want it to be first. It seems like baseball is, I don't think obsessed is the right word, but very adamant about being the first one back. If you think back to 9/11, George Bush throwing the first pitch in Yankee Stadium after 9/11. When the Yankees were playing the Mets and how cool of an experience that was, and baseball kind of being the backbone that people could look at and be like, okay, we're going to get back to normal. I think we want to try and do that again. I just think it's, you know, you get worried if you try and do it too soon and two or three players get sick, they're going to have to shut the whole thing down again, which I think we've seen in Japan and maybe even Korea has had to do that as well. You know, they're playing baseball with masks on. I think it's, we got to wait it out and be able to play, you know, 100 game season, maybe push it back in October a little bit, game 7 of the World Series, maybe on Thanksgiving Day, you know, but obviously we're exploring all options. But to answer your question quickly, yes, I do think a baseball season will happen.
When Ross Stripling hears that the Astros have cheated, and certainly you guys were affected by that, put us there. What were you thinking? What was going on?
Man, I should have known you were going to bring that up. I haven't had to answer that question in a long time. I wouldn't.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Astros.
Man.
No, no worries. We knew they were doing it in real time. You go back to 2017. You know, we kind of knew stuff was up. And I don't mean kind of knew. We 100% knew stuff was up. And so we were mad about it in 2017, you know, and then it kind of comes up again with, I feel bad. I can't think of the pitcher's name that fires, you know, whistleblowers on the whole thing. And it kind of, you know, rehashes old wounds. And obviously we're mad about it and we got to start answering to the media and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, anger, man, you know, you feel like you got a World Series taken away from you. And really we were kind of over it. And then the way that the Astros from players to ownership handled the whole thing from the start of spring training through those first couple of weeks just wasn't very good in our opinion. And that's when you kind of started to see us open our mouths and be like, look, They're trying to play the victim. They're not even hardly expressing remorse. Carlos Correa comes on and tells Cody Bellinger to shut the F up, you know, and, that kind of fired us up. But, you know, really JT, Justin Turner gave an awesome interview that kind of we could all rally around and just be like, go watch that interview. So go on YouTube or go to his page or whatever, watch that interview. That's how we feel. And now we can kind of put it behind us and move on a little bit.
That's a good answer. And by the way, if we do this again, and I'm hopeful that we do, I would like you to bring Justin Turner on because I have beef with him and I want to explain why.
Whoa. Okay?
Well, no, Stanzik, yeah. You know why? Justin Turner came out and recently said.
Oh, okay, no, I saw it. You're right.
So listen, Ross, I'm telling you, I have said this for years. In fact, I pitched it to Rob Manfred and he laughed me off the radio. Okay. Justin Turner's idea, which is my idea, by the way, of games ending in a home run derby. Okay. So I think he had the idea. You play the 10th inning. If nobody wins, it's still tied. Then their three best hitters versus your three best hitters, five swings each, home run derby, everyone out of there. I think we shouldn't even wait till the 11th. I think after the 9th, if it's tied, it should be the Dodgers' best hitter versus the Angels' best hitter, home run derby, five swings, everyone home by 11:15. It was my idea. Manfred laughed at it. Justin Turner clearly stole it from me. It's a great idea. I'm glad he did. But I got beef with Turner, but do you like the idea? At its core, do you like the idea?
I think the idea is hilarious. I mean, we've talked about that kind of stuff in the dugout forever. And in a time when baseball's kind of struggling to get the younger generation on board and to get people to sit down and watch 3 hours of baseball, I think you could convince a lot of people to log on and watch a 10-minute home run derby to literally decide the outcome of a game. And even to push it one step farther, why don't you allow like one guy off the bench to do steroids just for that purpose? And now you got one guy that just specializes in the home run for the four games a year that you tie, that guy.
I'm like a Dave Kingman. I'm going way back. Yeah. Like just a switch. A guy who's only trained to hit homers.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to win you four games a year. Heck, man, that's valuable. That's a four war.
Yeah. You're right. Stanza, go ahead.
All right, Ross, you probably saw this one coming, but we got to talk about your Major League debut. What's going through your mind? 7 1/3, you haven't given up a hit, and Dave Roberts is coming to the mound to take you out. I know you're not going to tell us that you were mad at him, but me and Stu Gatz are pissed at him. So what was going through your mind?
So mad.
Yeah, man, 5 years later, I think I'm allowed to be mad now. Not necessarily at him or just at the situation. You know, gosh, man, just because I've never gotten another chance, really even gotten close to throwing another one. So that might have been my one shot. Man, it's just such a whirlwind. Major League debut, I didn't even expect to be there. I was the 40th guy on the 40-man roster, but everyone got hurt. So they called me up to pitch game 5 to open the season. And I hadn't gone over like 45 pitches all of spring training. So by pitch 40, I was exhausted because that was a big league game and all that goes into it, you know. So by my 100th pitch, which is in the 8th inning, I'm throwing like 82-mile-an-hour flutter balls in there. And, you know, I've always said in a perfect world, it's a 10-0 game. And then come, you know, Dave Roberts can come up to me and says like, look, man, you have 10 more pitches. Throw them down the middle and let's hope they hit them at people. You know, but it's a 1-0 game. You're in San Francisco facing our rivals, guys that won 3 World Series the last 5 years, you know. And, you know, he makes the decision to pull me there at 100 pitches, and the next guy gives up the 2-run homer, and we lose the game. So it's
karma, hurts. Ross. That's
it
karma
hurts
right
to
there.
Back at now, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You ever say anything to Roberts, though, since? Like, have you?
You know what? I haven't. One day I will, but waiting for
get
the
him
right
on the
time.
Pod. We'll do it here.
Yeah, hey, Ross, this is the right outlet for sure.
Yes, yes. And get Justin Turner, by the way. I'm going to have you co-host this thing with me at some point. Wait, I want to pitch one more idea to you. So I also have this idea called the magic at bat, where a manager, like let's just use the Angels, for example, because here's what frustrates me about baseball. Now, growing up, my favorite sport, okay? But I will tell you the frustrating part is I go to an NBA game, final 3 minutes of the game, I know Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, those guys, the best guys are making all the key plays, decisions, taking the big shots, or getting double, triple teamed and passing off to a teammate. But they're involved in the final 3 to 5 minutes of that game. So you're guaranteed that. What I maintain in baseball is because of the randomness of the game and because there's a batting order, obviously, I want something, and I pitch this to Manfred as well, and tell Turner, feel free to steal it, okay? I want a magic at bat where let's say Trout comes up in the 8th inning. He's out. We get to the 9th, bottom of the 9th. Now, Trout is not up in the order, okay? But the Angels are down by a run or two. They have a couple of guys on. One time per game, a manager can bat out of order. It's called a magic at bat, and he can use Trout in the 9th, even though he already used him in the 8th. Magic at bat. What do you think?
Don't get me wrong, man. I love it. It sounds like you need to start your own version of like the XFL, but for baseball.
Yes.
Madness. You know, it's just Major League Baseball would never do that, you know, because you get into 150 years of history and that would just alter everything and just the strategy that goes in the game. You know, I love the idea. It'd just be impossible to implement. But heck, man, if we can make the XMLB or whatever, you know, you might have something there.
Ross, I got to tell you, he's giving you the reasonable ideas. He also has a pond somewhere in the outfield and trampolines on the warning track. So
I'm trying.
Oh, man, that'd be sweet.
No, but this is what I'm trying to tell you, Ross. I take my kids to a game, and the least entertaining part of the game for them is the game. Okay, they're in like bounce houses. They're doing it, and so I'm doing this for the young people. I'm trying to save baseball, Ross.
Hey, man, I appreciate your effort. We need it. So you keep firing off ideas. Maybe one will stick at some point. The trampolines, the warning track being a trampoline is maybe my favorite one I've ever heard.
By the way, on the other side, Billy's going to be so happy. On the other side, So the trampoline gets you over the fence. You can catch it, and you don't land on the ground. You land in a ball pit. I mean, how about that? You love that.
Where are the fans? You got no fans?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, a few rows back.
Yeah, whatever.
I do have a quick – we'll get you out of here. We appreciate it. We've enjoyed this. By the way, check it out. The Big Swing, Ross Stripling with us, Dodgers pitcher and stockbroker here on Stupidity. Check out his podcast, The Big Swing, wherever you get your podcast. Quickly on the way out, because I want people to get to know you just a little bit. Ross Stripling, favorite movie is blank.
Favorite movie is Good Will Hunting.
Oh, nice. Favorite band is blank.
Favorite band is Blink-182.
A song you sing out loud in your car every time is blank.
Oof, this is going to be embarrassing for me. Anything by Taylor Swift. To the max.
It was worth it.
Helping it.
A talent that Ross Stripling has that most people would be surprised to know that you do have.
Oh, my gosh. You know what's so funny is I was just talking to my wife about this the other day, and I had one, and I was like, I got to remember this for the next time I get asked, and now I can't remember what it is. Oh, my gosh, man.
Short memory, also something a pitcher might have, you know?
Yeah, that's my talent. Yeah, sure. Oh, my gosh. You know what? I'll punt that one because I don't remember.
Hey, we enjoyed this, man. We really did. We'd like to do it again if you're up for it, man. We'd like to make you a friend of the podcast. You were awesome.
I would love to be a friend of the podcast, man. This is a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Stupidity!
Stantic, I'm swooning. You know me. I'm swooning. You're swooning, too. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it 2,000 miles away. We're both swooning. We love Rex Stripling.
Ross, yes.
Ross. Ross Tillerson, I'm sorry.
Yes, we are big fans. He delivered. He was excellent. Although I gotta ask, were you just trying to be nice to him? You didn't go down a path I thought for sure you were gonna go down.
What's that?
I mean, you brought up Clayton Kershaw pretty early in the interview, like, oh yeah. Ross, you gotta get Kershaw's money, you know, you want me handling that, make money.
Yeah.
After your playing career is over, you didn't go down the Clayton Kershaw chokes in the playoffs and isn't clutch path, which I thought for sure you'd take.
It's a bad job out of me. You're disappointed in me. As much as you're swooning over Ross Stripling, you are disappointed in your friend and host of the podcast for not asking him the Kershaw questions, right?
Well, I think you were doing it because you liked Ross so much and you didn't want him to dislike you. So I think it was like there for you. And I was like, all right, I can't go there because I'll sound dislikable to him.
Well, let me put it kind of in stockbroker terms, a scenario, I guess what I'm saying, is when you land a big account, and we just landed Ross Stripling, who's going to be a friend of this podcast, he's going to come back on, he'll bring Justin Turner with him, perhaps he'll bring Kershaw one day with him, who knows? I mean, so what I'm saying is when you close the big account, what you don't do, you know, as you're getting the order, okay, Stanzik, is insult a family member. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
You know, when I call Murray's at West Palm Beach when I was doing the brokerage thing, you don't call Murray. He gives you a $10 million order, and then you start insulting his grandson. You know, like that's just not a good strategy. And so I figured let's get in good here with Ross Stripling. And then next time we have him on, and there will be a next time. By next time, he might be on next episode. I will lay in the Kershaw then, but I'm going to lay in the Kershaw in a way that allows him just to knock me over the head with a bat. Okay.
Okay, I don't want you to take it easy on him, though. I want you to bring your A game, like the opposite of what Kershaw does in the playoffs, okay?
I want you to bring that line when Stripling comes back on. You got it?
Okay.
You won't. You'll have me do it.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's unbelievable.
So you didn't like your ideas, though. Stripling was in on your, you know, rules to change baseball.
That's a good job out of you. He was. He was in. Listen, he this is a big day for me, Billy, and Chris Cody on our show because we have people who are now, because we're all quarantined and we're losing our minds, we have people who are agreeing with our zany ideas. That Justin Turner home run derby was not Justin Turner's idea. It was my idea, okay? And everyone knows that. And hopefully now Stripling's already told Turner that it's my idea and he stole it. But I have some more good news. Stan, you heard about this, right? Because the magic at bat is something we came up with. We presented all these ideas to Rob Manfred. He laughed us off the phone. But now the magic at bat is picking up steam because here's what happened. On Friday, I was on Sedano's show. I explained to him the magic at bat. He then told me that Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, who clearly Stripling is very, very upset with.
That's
a great question by you. But Dave Roberts does a weekly show with Sedano out in L.A., the Dodgers manager, and George promised that he would ask him about the magic at bat this week, a couple of days ago. And so Sedano asked the former NL Manager of the Year, Dave Roberts, about my idea, the magic at bat, and, well, here it is.
Here's another kooky idea, okay? This is from one of our friends here at ESPN that works on the Dan Le Batard show, Stu Gotts, John Wiener. He wants a designated spot called the magic at bat at the end of your lineup card. And it could be Cody or Jock or Justin or whoever. And you designate a player that, let's say you're in the bot, you're getting to the ninth inning. And even though Cody batted in the eighth, you can pick Cody again if he's your designated player to bat again in the ninth to either give you the lead or tie the game if you're down a run and you got runners on or whatnot, that you can utilize that person more than once in a situation, in a special situation like that, in a game-tying or game-winning situation. Now, is that too kooky or is that something that sounds like, hey, that's not so crazy?
No, I think that is fantastic. I think that there's something that we can dig into that. So I think you said his name was John. John is onto something. I love that because it actually builds to the anticipation where if you select that magic hitter or whatever you want to call him, that I like the idea of using him once, using that bullet one time and figuring out whatever part of the game you want to use them. So if it's six inning bases loaded and you want to fire that magic bullet, you can do it then because that might be the game. Or if you save that bullet to the ninth inning, you can do that. Whatever way, but I think that there's something in my idea might be, I think John's idea might be better. It doesn't matter, but I love the thought. And I think right now where fans want creativity, want interest, and right now we need baseball, I think this is a good opportunity for all of us.
Boom! How about that, Stanzik? I mean, former NL Manager of the Year who took a pitcher out way too early during a perfect game.
He's in. He likes it.
Now, I bet you Manfred's taking it seriously now, don't you think?
Probably.
Get Roberts on the show.
Justin Turner first, then Roberts, then Kershaw.
Right. Right, right. No, we can get Roberts on our own. Stripling will take care of Turner and Kershaw. But how about that? I mean, that we got to get Roberts on the show. I mean, if he likes that, wait until he hears about trampolines and ball pits.
And the ponds.
Are you proud of me?
Yeah, I mean, this is like our second highest achievement, I want to say. You know, number one was, of course, you know, getting the bear sound on College Game Day. I think this is a close second.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's right up there with the priestess casting a spell on the garden. That didn't work.
She did get Brady out of New England for you.
She did do that. She did. It's the only thing. She hasn't gotten rid of this damn coronavirus yet, though. She promised us she would. Oh, my God. All right. So this is exciting. We have a new friend in Ross Stripling who's going to get us Justin Turner and Clayton Kershaw and anyone else in the Dodgers. And we're going to get Dave Roberts up, right? So we'll pitch more ideas to him. No pun intended.
Why don't we let Ross pitch? Ross went 7 1/3 in his major league debut and got yanked without giving up a hit. We should have Ross pitch 5 ideas to Dave Roberts for the 5 out Dave Roberts wouldn't let him get.
Done. And then we should revisit the time where he took him out just so they could bury the axe, okay?
I mean,
we should be mending fences here during hashtag COVID-19, okay? And I think what we could do is Stripling is clearly upset and holds a grudge towards Dave Roberts. I think we should bring them all together, have Stripling pitch a couple ideas, and get those guys to be friendly again, okay?
I'm in. Let's do it.
I have no idea if they dislike each other. But it's good for radio buildup. Thank you very much to Ross Stripling. He was fantastic. Stanzik, I'm really thrilled about this new relationship we have with Stripling. I'm excited about it. It's not every day that you get an all-star Major League Baseball pitcher and a stockbroker, both who are the same person, to be a friend of the show. We now have two friends of the show. How about that? The stockbroker and the pitcher.
Oh. Have you texted Ross yet to get any tips?
No, I have not.
That's a yes. Okay, that a boy. Smart.
Let's put it this way. I'm retiring after this episode.
Stupidity!